Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. The Reverend Dr. Rick Serena is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from 1 Timothy. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if I had any courage today, I'd probably preach on the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. That hits a little too close to home for me, though, especially given what I do for a living, and especially where we are in a convention season. So instead, let me opt for something that might be a little less problematic. Let's preach about the rich. That doesn't affect too many of us in this building. Now, to be clear, in this passage, St. Paul is not upbraiding the rich. Now, earlier in chapter 6, he actually does, but he upbraids not those who are rich. He upbraids those who are not rich, but who want to be rich. And it's to them that he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Here, though, the apostle is speaking to those who are already rich. And to them, he is actually far gentler, pastoral even. He isn't criticizing the wealthy, he's just concerned about them. He doesn't want them making the mistake of valuing the passing earthly material possessions of this life over the eternal heavenly blessings they have in Christ, that which Christ offers them. So, like any good pastor, he's trying to change their minds, to reorient how they see their lives. He wants them to find their hope not in the things of this life, which are fleeting and uncertain, but instead in the things of Christ, which will last and which will not fail them. And that message isn't just for the rich. It's for us too. Now, this passage, interestingly, reads sort of like a commentary on Luke chapter 12. I wish I had time to get to that, but Pastor Denzer cuts me off at 6 minutes. In that passage, Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool and says that our life does not consist in an abundance of possessions, but rather that we should store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. It's the same idea here. The problem for the wealthy is that these many earthly treasures they have accumulated, they're not going to last. That's why Paul refers to the uncertainty of riches here. It could be gone in a second. Or like the rich fool in Jesus' parable, you could be gone in a second, and then your possessions will go to somebody else. Possessions hardly make someone rich. If these people really want to be rich, they should be rich in good works, Paul says. They should do good. They should be generous. They should be ready to share. Why? Because this reflects that their hope is in the right place. It's not in earthly possessions because they're willing to give those away. It is rather in the things of Christ, the things that Christ has in store for them, an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, but is kept in heaven for them. These passing, fleeting, earthly possessions are not, in that arresting phrase of St. Paul's, truly life. True life is what we have in Christ our Lord. Now, the caveat, right? That doesn't mean the things of this life are somehow bad or unimportant. Lutherans aren't escapists. We don't denigrate this world or the things in it. All we have is from God, the God who richly and daily provides all us with all that we need to support this body and life. We receive those things with gratitude and thanksgiving because they are good and perfect gifts from our Father in heaven. We don't ignore our responsibilities in this world, and we don't ignore our responsibilities toward our neighbors. That's not Paul's point here. His point simply is that these things, the things of this life, will not last. It's not that they're bad, it's not that they're wrong. They're good, they're from God. But they won't endure. They're time-bound, they're earth-bound. And that means you cannot trust them, you cannot seek after them, you cannot love them, and you most certainly cannot find your hope and your contentment in them. And again, this isn't just a problem for those in a higher tax bracket. It's our problem too. We prioritize all the wrong things. We value all the wrong things. We desire all the wrong things. C.S. Lewis famously put it, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with ambition and sex and drink when infinite joy is offered us." Infinite. We are content with temporal possessions and wealth and success, with momentary pleasures and mindless entertainment and technological gadgetry, which are all fleeting and will not last. And yet your Lord offers you something more, something that will last. And of course, that's easy to preach about, easy to say. I mean, we already know it. We've heard it 1,000 times. Yet here we are in this life and in this world. We have jobs to do. We have bills to pay. We have cars to fix. We have vacations to take. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But it's not truly life, Paul says. What's truly life is what Christ has in store for you. What no thief can steal and what no moth can corrupt. That will not fail you. That will not disappoint you. You have lasting meaning and value in those things. You have it in Jesus Christ and in his gospel and in what he has done for you and the forgiveness he offers you, the promise to forgive you of your sins and to raise you from the dirt on the last day, bone, joint, flesh, and all, like those dry bones in Ezekiel's valley, and to grant you a life that goes on without end, free from sin, death, and the devil forever. That's where your true hope is found. That's the eternal treasure Christ offers you, and that's what you as Christians value. The things that occupy your time and attention today, that sap your energy and raise your stress level, they will not last. They simply won't. They have an expiration date. Even when they're good, they're still going to ultimately disappoint you. Your Lord will not disappoint you. His promises will not disappoint you. What he has in store for you when he returns on the last day, that most certainly will not disappoint you. Your Easter joy cannot disappoint you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.